today on Real Radio.
The Bible tells us clearly that salvation is experienced, it is received, it is our foundation, and we come to that wonderful gift from God based upon our faith in the Lord. Not by works, not by doing good, not by being good.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Believer's Foundation Part 2, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll continue covering Galatians chapter 3 with verses 6 through 9 today. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is truly holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. Our justification through faith in Jesus Christ is founded upon God's Word. It's always been God's plan to save us, for our salvation is a gift based solely upon faith and not by works. Before the law even existed, Abraham believed God, and God declared him righteous. And the gospel that was acted out in Abraham's life is the same exact gospel that saves mankind today. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the foundation of the believer is revealed to us in the Scripture. The Old Testament tells us that God will justify by faith the Gentile as well as the Jew. Therefore, salvation is for all who believe through faith in Jesus Christ. And now, in his lesson called The Believer's Foundation, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Bibles this morning, turning to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and Paul's been teaching us. Galatians 3, this morning, verses 6 through 9, but in context, listen to what he's been telling us. Verse 1, chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, or as it were, tried to put a spell on you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect or complete by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was attributed, accounted, or reckoned to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham was declared righteous by God himself because Abraham believed in God. Isn't that amazing? When did that happen? A long time ago. Before the law was issued by Moses, Moses wasn't even born yet. Moses was still coming some 430 years later. God declared Abraham righteous by his faith in God. We've been looking at that in our study entitled The Believer's Foundation. Very important. The Bible tells us clearly that salvation is experienced, it is received, it is our foundation, and we come to that wonderful gift from God based upon our faith in the Lord. Not by works, not by doing good, not by being good. Those things should follow, and they should be the fruit of faith, but it's not what God is impressed with, it's not what He receives. He looks for faith. In fact, the Bible says when God returns to the earth, and He is coming, you know, He says, when I come, will I find faith in the earth? Well, the Bible tells us that Abraham was declared righteous by his faith in God, not by any works. I don't know how you grew up, but I grew up in a home that was pretty direct, pretty stern in many ways. My father didn't cut us any slack about things, and one of those moments I'll never forget. It was a Saturday morning. It was an excellent morning. We're playing baseball in front of the house. And I fouled a ball off to the left. And it went right through our neighbor's bathroom window. Mr. Wolznick's house. The baseball landed in the bathtub. And Mr. Wolznick came out, had a smile on his face, said, "Don't worry about it." And I had lived long enough to know that when something happened that was wrong, I had better get to my dad and confess. My dad had this rule that if anybody got to him with bad news about us boys before us boys did, that was the beginning of sorrows. And unfortunately, I ran to see the window that I had broken. That was in the opposite direction of my house. Other long-legged people beat me to my dad. They got there first and told my dad what had happened. "Jack broke the window." And so my dad, as I was heading toward the house, my dad met me in the middle of the street as he was coming out of the house, marched me right over to Mr. Wolznick's window, and he said, "Did you break it?" I said, "I broke it." And he said, "You will pay for it, and you will fix it. I'll help you, but you will do this on your own." And I think I was like 9 years old, and I was freaked out, scared to death. You know that feeling, guys and gals, when you break something like that? There's an adrenaline rush in your system. It's just a horrible feeling. And it wasn't that the baseball went through the window. It was that I was knowing that judgment was impending, and I was immediately guilty. And so my dad, that was the rest of that Saturday. We went down to what used to be called back in those days Builder's Emporium and bought all the fixings for the window. And though I was little and didn't know much about fixing windows, my dad saw to it that I had my fingers in every bit of it. And he pretty much did it, but he let me know that I was the one who really did it. And a lesson was learned. Because when we were all done, my dad told me, when we were all done putting everything away, he said, "Now you listen. In this life, you have to pay for everything you get. And when you break something, sometimes you have to pay extra. But know this, you'll get no hands out in this life. You will be responsible for any success that you experience. And when you blow something like you did today, you got to undo it. You're the one who's got to fix what's wrong. No one will fix it for you." And that's true in the world. But not when it comes to God. And for many of us, that's our great hardship. We're Christians, we love the Lord, we love His Word, but we struggle with our inability to receive His forgiveness. We want to somehow believe, though we would preach and witness against it, that God covers us, that He has paid our entire debt. But we've also been brought up that whatever we get in this life, it's not free. We have to strive to get it. We have to strive to obtain it. And that's the way life is. But the truth of the matter is, concerning salvation, it is something so great. And in fact, our view of assisting God with the works of the flesh regarding our relationship comes from a very poor view of salvation itself. God initiated salvation. He paid the price for salvation, and He invited us to salvation. It's of God. We are to respond to God. That is our response. Yes or no? Hopefully yes. But God does the work. We cannot buy it. We cannot try to buy it. We cannot bargain for it. We cannot plea bargain for it. It is a gift. And so this morning in our study, we pick up in our part two of our message, the foundation of the believer. And we look at it in our second consideration. Our first consideration was this, in verses 6 through 7, that justification by faith was established by God. Remember, it was God's idea. God in His Word established the idea of salvation. It started way back in Genesis. Remember when Adam and Eve blew it? God initiated salvation way back then. He announced to Adam and Eve that He would provide salvation. And in fact, didn't He hint around about that when Adam and Eve sinned? Remember, now you got to understand this. The Bible says that when they sinned in that day, they knew that they were naked. Well, if you read the fine print, they didn't have any clothes to begin with. God made them in their birthday suits. That's where we got that saying. He created them that way. But the Hebrew scriptures imply that they were clothed in light. Isn't that interesting? And that when they sinned, Eve sinning first, ladies, it's true. Eve sinned first, and so to speak, her light went out. And she knew of her nakedness. Adam came along at some point later, we don't know how much later, and he willfully entered into sin. She was beguiled into sin. Adam entered into sin willfully. I believe personally that Adam wound up loving Eve more than loving God. But be that as it may, he entered into sin willfully. She sinned. He transgressed. Doesn't matter. Both of them were now infused with S-I-N. They all, there in the garden, S-I-N positive, sin began its insidious march and curse within them. God said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, that day you shall surely die. Now, of course, they lived some 900 years on. But that day they did die spiritually. And yet in the Bible there tells us that God must have killed an animal. I bet it was a lamb. Can't prove it. But it says that God killed an animal there and clothed them with the skins of the animal. I bet it was a lamb. Can't prove it. But sounds romantic to me, don't you think? That he would provide a lamb for them then? And all along, as God began to speak through the word of God, he had set forth a standard that he would provide for man's sins. From the garden on. And Paul had been preaching the gospel, and he came to the area of Galatia, and they had received the gospel gladly. But then those of the legalistic persuasion came in to try to attach or to assign unto these new precious believers works in a performance-based relationship with God, which God will not. He did not receive it then, and he will not receive it now. God demands that you and I have not a religious experience with him, but a personal relationship with him. And so we saw that God established justification by faith. It was God's idea. It came at his own expense. And we learned in verse 7 last time that it was at God's direction, that his only way of salvation that he would provide would be by faith. Now we look at our study this morning and we see in verses 8, the believer's foundation is that justification by faith is revealed in the Word of God. I love that. Let me tell you a story this week. It was Thursday. In fact, time ran over for me. I never had a chance to make it to the National Day of Prayer. God had something else in my morning planned. I had driven out to a lady's house. In fact, I think she's in her early 50s. Too young, anyway. And as I went out there, she lived just, you know where Oak Glen is, the apple country? And got to her house, and she has some 2 weeks to live at best, ravaged by cancer. And as we sat there, and we went in the Word, and we talked, and we prayed, and if you know someone who's going through that, there's a time when they go in and out. They doze in and out, and they can be listening to you very alertly and very attentively, and then in a moment, they're almost snoozing. It's part of the process and all. And so as we're there, as we're reading the Word and talking about the Word, she kind of perked up for a moment, and she says, "Pastor, how can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven?" And I asked her, "Do you believe in Jesus?" "Yes." "Do you believe he died on the cross for you?" "Yes." "Do you believe he rose again from the dead?" "Yes." "Do you believe that he's the Son of God?" "Yes." And I said, "Honey, based upon what you've declared, you're going to heaven." "Really?" I said, "Yeah, listen to what you just did." And I turned to Romans chapter 10, and I began reading there, starting at verses 9, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. She got a smile on her face, and she looked at me, and she just dozed away. And I thought, "Oh, Lord, what timing, God. Thank you, Lord. It's so wonderful to walk in the middle of your will. Hallelujah, God, you're so good." And then she just kind of jerked right back, and hi, and I thought, hey, that would have been great to share on Sunday. But it didn't happen that way. But she was calling out and asking for assurance. Isn't that the heart of our God? Didn't Jesus say to the thief on the cross, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise"? He didn't say, "Listen, if you just hang in there a little longer, you might be with me today in paradise. You know, if you weren't such a rotten, thief, you could have been with me in paradise today. He didn't say that at all. In fact, he didn't even say, you know, a moment ago, you and your friend, you were cursing me. And what, now that you're getting near your death moment, you're calling on me? What do you think I am, a fool? Oh, no. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's good news. We just prayed a moment ago for Officer March, who we all learned this morning, 3 weeks ago, accepting Jesus Christ and getting shot and killed in the line of duty. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. God does this. What can we say that we've attributed to the work of God? What can we say? We've somehow performed some great feat that surely now God loves us more? No, not exactly at all. Justification. Remember what that means? Just if I'd never sinned. God views us that way. Justification by faith was revealed by the word of God. Number one, we see here by the scripture itself. Look at verse 8. It says, and the scriptures. You got to circle that, the scriptures. Paul is talking to the Galatian believers about the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet. Paul was saying from the scriptures, God has declared that he will justify the Gentile by faith, just like Abraham. When we talk about the Bible, we are talking about the Old Testament scriptures that declare that God would justify the ungodly, the heathen, some of your Bible translations put it, meaning just non-Jews, most of us, if not all of us this morning. God's promise says, I'm going to justify based upon my word of God. I'm going to reveal that message in my word. So we know if we take the time to read throughout the prophets that God speaks to us that he's going to save the Gentile world by faith, the same way the Jewish world is saved. Very important. He tells us this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I'll paraphrase it, mark it down, look at it later. The Bible there says that when Adam and Eve sinned, God turns and he looks at the serpent and he says, cursed be you from all of the animals upon the earth. From this day forward, you'll crawl upon your belly and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Very important. And he says, I will put warfare between your descendants. Isn't that interesting? Satan's got descendants. I will put warfare between your descendants and the woman's descendants. Now, why do I use that word? Well, technically, in the Hebrew, the word is translated into Latin or even the Greek into our English, sperm. From Satan's progeny, I will put warfare between Eve's progeny. Well, wait a minute. Certainly the word there is not Eve's sperm. Yes, it is. Isn't that weird? So, really? That's impossible. You're right, it is impossible. The female has an egg. The man has the sperm. What is God saying? From Genesis chapter 3, 14 to 15, God made the promise right there that coming forth from Eve will be a divine event whereby the Holy Spirit will bring forth the Son of God through Eve, not Joseph and Mary. The Holy Spirit would use, as it were, Mary as the going forth, the fountain by which God would send forth his Son into the world. The Immaculate Conception of the Son of God, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. God from Genesis 3 makes the announcement. And then throughout Scripture, we can look at the Bible and say with authority to somebody who's even dying, this is what the Bible says. Now, I don't know about you, but as that woman, she wanted to make sure. You should be sure. I got news for you. The more you share Jesus, and maybe some of you are saying, well, I've never shared Jesus. I've got to tell you from personal experience, until you share Jesus with other people, that you're always going to have this kind of fear. It's just natural. What do I say? What do I do? And then for those of you who have shared Jesus with people, those who have not shared Jesus, they think you're nuts. They can hardly stand you. It's not that they don't like you. It's just that you're all pumped up with some sort of energy. They love the energy you have, but they haven't crossed that line yet to share Christ. Why am I saying this? Because the more you share Jesus, the more emboldened you get in your faith. Not the more obnoxious you get. There's a big difference. The more you share, why? Because the Bible tells us that our faith is strengthened, is energized. We exercise our faith unto godliness. That is, the more we talk about God, the more firm we get in our foundation with the Lord. And when we share from the Word of God, there is a strength that comes that you cannot register in this life. It is amazing. It's exciting. So I want to ask you this morning, have you trusted, have you put faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you've done that, God will see to it, because faith is active. God will stir you up. And maybe He's stirring some of you up this morning. But the foundation that Christ has provided for us is justification by faith. It's not precarious. It's not somehow in a deficit or a weakness. It's strong. Do you have faith in God? I didn't ask you, do you have great faith in God? I said, do you have faith in God? If you have faith that God supplied salvation through Jesus Christ, God receives you as a child of Abraham. You're walking in the footsteps of Abraham in that manner. But what foundation do you have this morning? Is it, well, Pastor, I'm really working hard at my salvation. If I try really hard, listen, if I'm really good, you know, if I keep the golden rule, you can't keep the golden rule. You can't even keep the first of the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm still going to try. No, your foundation's off. Listen, this last week, they poured the foundation on the east wing. The west wing's already been poured. The east wing, they just poured. And the contractor took me on a walk on Friday morning of the west wing, because you can walk on it. They're getting ready to do whatever they do. And as I'm walking along, there's this huge crack. And I said, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's cracked. And the guy, Ron, is a wonderful believer, loves the Lord. He looked at me, he got a big smile on his face. He goes, we don't care if it's cracked here. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, honestly, it's kind of insecure. If it cracks here, it could crack somewhere else. He goes, no, we expected it to crack here. In fact, we're glad it did crack here. Why? He said, because we're going to be tearing this up. This portion goes up later. We tear this part out. It's false. He said, below it, there's not much at all, not compared to the rest of the building. That's where the depth is at, where we're going to build on. He said this, it was easier for them to keep pouring than to stop. And I said, oh. He said, yeah, this is disposable here. This goes. That which was firm, that which had a foundation, was strong. To the apparent eye, to me, it looked the same across the foundation until I saw the crack. The reason why it cracked is because the concrete there, it's very thin. It could never hold a building. Didn't Jesus say that there are those who, he says, by having faith in him, they build their life upon the rock, and storms will come, the winds will come, the floods will come, and that home, that life will be firm because they built it upon the rock, the firm Word of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Believer's Foundation, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that your foundation is secure in Jesus Christ. The Believer's Foundation Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.